But this morning, I want to talk just a little bit about one thing in particular that might affect your faith. And that is your perception of the local church. Our perception of the local church can affect our faith. Because the local church is not there just because we need a building to hold services. How many of y'all know that's not why the church is there? Now, you are really the church, but you need a place to go. Say, I need a place to go. How many of you know you actually make the home, but you got to have a house to make a home? Amen? So you got to have a house where you gather and meet together. So let's just begin to read it. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Because I hear the Lord, he's got me getting ready to, if he said the same, we're going to start on divine church order next Sunday. And this is leading up to that because we have a misperception about the church so much that we see it, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, because our perception affects our faith. Are you there? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive, say I perceive, that this is an holy man of God who passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. Now, they might not have met in a house or a temple because, you know, the temple was in Jerusalem. And that's where most of the people were required to go when it was time to have worship. But they had local synagogues to where they fellowship one with another. Because if I couldn't get out of town and go to Jerusalem, if I live far away, there was a synagogue. And most time that might have been someone's home. But it was still denoted as a synagogue, depending on the kind of person. That could have been a priest there or a Levite. The Levites were ordained priests at this time. But nonetheless, her perception is what I'm looking at. So now you might want to write down this definition. What does perceive means? To become aware or conscious of someone or something. To discern. To recognize. To come to know, the ability to distinguish, to grasp, to appreciate. I'll read it again. To become aware or conscious of someone or something. To discern, to recognize, come to know, the ability to distinguish, to grasp, and to appreciate. So how you perceive the local church is going to affect your faith. Turn to Acts chapter 15. I'm going to do most of the reading before I start sharing. And a certain man which came down from Judea, Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. I know. When you're there, say, I'm there. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other them should go up to Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem was where the apostles had their services. Unto the apostles and the elders about this question. They were going to the local church to get answers. Say answers. But they had a perception about the house of God that most Christians today don't have. They knew that the apostles were there and they were set in place to help them, not to facilitate their quirks and their whims, but to instruct in the way of righteousness. Most people go to a church because they got several things in mind. They want to make sure they got somebody that's going to pray over them when they're sick, going to help them when they're in trouble. We're going to have a banquet every now and then, so we got to feed you. And when I die, I'm going to have a pastor to put me to rest. That is the general mindset of a lot of people. They don't come to church ready to be instructed. Filling the chair is just something they do. You said, that can't be with everybody. No, that's not everybody. And if it's not you, then I'm not talking about you. Eat it anyway. You might meet somebody. And this is very key, because the house of God has become an entertainment center. If you're not careful, we come to church looking for entertainment, not instruction. The praise and worship time is not a time of entertainment. It is so you can hear the word. It's supposed to make you open unto the word. And you make the praise and worship leader work harder when you sit back, wait for her to hit a certain note or sing a certain song. You're supposed to come in ready for praise and worship. Now, if you got here for intercessory prayer, it would be even better. You open up yourself and make yourself pliable. So when the praise and worship leader hit the floor, you're ready to praise and worship God. But we make the church responsible for my being excited about God. Impossible. And if you don't sing, if she don't sing the right song, I can't get in the spirit. You're not in the spirit, no way. But that's kind of what we expect church to be, because you're looking at the glitz and the glamour from television and you see all of that. And when you come to your own church, you don't have all of that. So now you kind of critiquing indiscreetly. You're critiquing discreetly, rather. You're critiquing whether or not if it's worthy of your participation. And you'll hold back on your praise and worship because it's not big enough, it ain't loud enough, ain't enough choir, ain't enough people for you yet. So when you gonna get happy in the Lord? When the church is running over, we back in our big building? Is that when you gonna get happy? If you can't get happy in this building, you're not gonna get happy in that one either. Because it's not up to us, it's up to you. It's not my responsibility to make you feel good. Ooh, Jesus. See, they had a dispute between Apostle Paul and some of the men that was representing the synagogues or the Jews about how that Paul is a teaching to the Gentiles. Now, if you keep reading that, and he says, but he's teaching the Gentiles, and the Jews trying to get the Gentiles to act like them. And Paul said, that can't happen. That can't flow like that. Because it don't work like that. We deal with a whole different group of people. How many of y'all ever been to a high-class banquet and you got one person to come in and they're going to be like the neon sign? They're just as loud and brash as they can be. They disrupt everything. They don't have any table etiquette. And they expect everybody to just accept them. And then when people look at them going like, for real? Now they offended. What? You know, we do that lean back. This just me. Well, you just need to fix you. Because you're in church. And you don't need to be seen or heard. You're here to partake. Oh. Not be the neon sign. Partake, said partake. I know. So once they got to Jerusalem, look at verse 6. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor you were able to bear? You didn't live up to the law. Now you want the Gentiles to do what you didn't do. That's the way church people act. They think they got the right to judge your life. And you're supposed to live up to their standards. Forget what the words say. You got to pass my standard. See, that's a dispute that was happening in the local church. And it had to be resolved. Now, if you keep right on reading, go down to verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. Now, it wasn't good enough that the apostles wrote a letter. They sent men, credible men, with the letters. Why was that? Because when you're dealing with people, sometimes the writing just ain't enough. Because they can say, well, you wrote the letter. But no, headquarters had to send. See, this is why every church should be under have somebody over them. When churches don't have authority over them, you are in trouble. Now, as great a man of God as Paul was and became, he was still submitted to the apostles over the church in Jerusalem. Do you see that? Because when a dispute arose, he didn't try to handle it himself. He went to the authorities over the church. Look at somebody and smile. Because that's what I do. If I got questions, I got oversight. Call Pastor Priv and Pastor Barbara. I can dial their number. I got their personal phone numbers. And I can say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, what you think about such and such? How should I handle this? And you partake of, see, that's important. You can't look at the local church just as some place to come. No, it comes from the head down. That's the way the anointing flows. It doesn't flow from the layman to the pulpit. That's backwards. Whenever you see that out of order, just know the whole house is out of order. Trust me. The whole house is out of order. That's why we got to talk divine church order. Because leadership has now become the underdog in most churches. And the people are running the pastor. But see, the pastor don't have oversight. That's why the people are talking in his ear more than God. And it says, look at verse 25. No, look at verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. See? It wasn't even part of their teaching. Somebody took it upon themselves. You know, I went to Mary and I was together one day, and I forgot what store we was in. And I said, Mary, I said, all you got to do is give somebody a little bit of power, and they don't know what to do. They're like, they're going to make you, oh, I know what it was. I buy some chicken. And I'm willing to pay for the kind of the pieces I want. I don't want to buy chicken thighs when I'm out. The guy said, well, you got to get 2 thighs, 2 breasts, and 2 wings. I said, why is that? He said, 'cause that's the way they tell me to sell it. So, you know, I said, okay, put them in there. If that's the way, they won't break it up, okay. But now I'm going to take the 2,000 and throw them in the trash because I'm not going to eat them. That's wasted food to me. And I was kind of upset because I had to throw it away. And more about my children weren't around, so. My son said, get them the trash. Well, I don't eat nobody 1,000 unless I know how you clean your chicken. I don't eat no 1,000 out there unless I know how you clean your chicken. Don't do that. That's the nastiest part of the chicken, is the thigh. And if it don't be clean, you eating a lot of dirt. But anyway, that's another whole subject. Y'all got to wait for the YouTube video, and I'll teach you how to clean a chicken. But I mean, I'm going to, this is crazy. He willing to let me waste food. I said, give it to somebody. No, they don't want to do that. I told Mary, he got just enough authority over this little chicken department. And he trying to act like he the mate. The people ain't made, they don't care. They just want to sell chicken. And if I'm willing to pay for two legs extra, they don't care. That's more money in their pocket. And I believe if a manager had come by and heard him say that, they'd have corrected him. But he had just enough authority to aggravate somebody. None that can make the right decisions, but just enough to aggravate. But that's the way it is in the body of Christ. That's why you have to be careful who you appoint in the local church. Because they can become an annoyance, and they'll turn people away from the house of God. Thinking they're watching out for, I don't know who they think they're watching out for, but they're not watching out for you or me. He says, we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled in one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. See, there were no qualms between them and Paul and Barnabas. It was between the people. And Paul said, this need to be settled because the people that was creating the problem came from the church in Jerusalem. Okay? Men that have hazarded or put their lives in danger for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you. That means the letter, we're not just going to send the letter, but they're going to come and tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary. And then they spelled out what they should and should not do that complied with what all the church was doing. So a lot of the disputes we have in local churches because there's no oversight and people not perceiving the church correctly. You come to a church and you think you have the right to voice all your opinion. But you won't do that on your job. You big and bad when it come in here, but you won't speak up for yourself on a job. Some of y'all might, but not everybody. You voice what you don't like and don't like. But when was the last time you helped do something? And got behind the mechanics and saw what we actually had to work with. I thank God for our media department. I pray for them every single day. I don't want Jalen them job. I couldn't do this and do what he does. And if you have a volunteer to help, you need a volunteer to help. This is our church. He does a lot. And we're getting ready to help him get relieved of some of the responsibility, but even still, he still got to have the oversight of the department because he's over the department. But if we don't jump up and say, hey, bro, look, and then become good at it, not just throw something together, say you're helping him out. No, come to do good. Because I require excellence. My husband taught me that, and I don't settle for nothing less. And if I go to the YouTube and I see something that I'm calling Jalen, I ain't calling the person who did it. I'm calling Jalen. Why that thing so long like that? Why that intro so long? That's why I go back and watch the videos. He says, I'll fix it. And he did. Now, whoever he had to get on to get it fixed, I don't care. He fixed my problem because I'm going to the head of the department. I'm not going to the people under him. When I need something fixed around here, and Pastor DJ has been assigned to do certain things, he steps in and do a whole lot. I thank God for my son. I'm not coming to one of you. I'm going to him. Now, whatever he got to do to get y'all to do it, that's on him. That's how I roll. That's called divine order. But there's a misperception. We feel like we can rise up and you want to come ask me something. Did you talk to Pastor DJ or Jalen? Did you talk to Minister Casey? She's over the praise and worship. Don't ask me nothing about that stuff. I'd give them my iPod and say, play my music. That's as far as I go with praise and worship. And every now and then I'll call her and say, Casey, will you sing such and such song? And it's so funny because the song she sang, King of Glory, I've been playing it, and I said, I will hope Casey sing this song. See? I didn't call her, though, this time. But I can if I want to. I'm not going to call you and say, tell Casey. You see how we got to change the way we think about church. If you got a question that's concerned anything, go to your head first. That's over that department. If you don't know who's head over something, shame on you. It ain't like we got 1,000 people here and you need a name tag. Can I get an amen? So we see a dispute was resolved amongst the leaders, not the people. Because perception, if people get involved with disputes, they feel like they got a right to bring everything they dislike to leadership. And that is totally wrong. So Peter had to set the two people straight so they never do it again. And sometimes it means your feelings might get hurt. But that's to help you, not to hurt you. So he had to tell them, say, look, I'm not only sending a letter, but I'm sending two people with them so that this will never happen again. And he told them, he said, now, let them go in peace and let Apostle Paul do what he's been called to do. And y'all stop trying to burden the people down with something you can't live up to. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Yeah, hallelujah. It's all about our perception about the church, though. Because the way we see the local church has everything to do with our faith. You know, your faith works better when you're committed to the local church. Without a commitment, it's hard to get faith to work. And you can read every scripture. You can believe every scripture. See, the devil believe and tremble that he can't get it to work. Because he's not submitted. You got to be submitted to the authority that's been ordained by God. Because no man is an island unto himself. And being in a chair does not mean you are submitted. Now listen, we see in this account, it shows that Peter and Paul didn't have a problem. But because if you keep reading, I'm not going to read all of that. It says that Apostle Paul was teaching things, he said, that can get twisted if you don't have a revelation of it. Let's go down to verse 16. We'll look at verse 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you. So all the apostles knew what their calling was in teaching. And they didn't make Paul seem like he didn't know what he was talking about because he didn't teach what they taught. They all taught the word, but Paul had a revelation that Peter had not gotten. But what Paul did, he took the time, and you read on another account, where he took the time and went in and explained it to Peter and the apostles that were present so they could get the same revelation. So there be no division. Because they know that if the church is divided, it's going to fall. He says, look at this. He says, as also verse 16, in all his epistles, talking about Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are what? Unlearned and what? Unstable wrestle with. As they do also the other scriptures. So it ain't just what Paul's saying. They got this problem with other scriptures. Because they're unstable. And they're unlearned. And most times they're not willing to sit still long enough to learn. They come in an environment like this, and the first thing they want to do, the word start hitting them, they get offended because they're looking for something that's going to appease the flesh. He says, unto their own destruction, though. They do this also to their own other scripture, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He said you can be steadfast today and fall down tomorrow. Why? You listen to somebody that's unstable, who's trying to teach you something that's contrary to what you're being trained in. This is why you be careful how you click and listen to every person teaching on TV. Because all they got to do is slip a Mickey in and throw you off. Now you asking questions that you shouldn't even ask had you not listened to them. I got staples that I listen to, and these are people that I learned from my own pastors to listen to. I don't deviate. If I hear a man of God, and that's not saying they're teaching wrong, but when I want to be fed, I don't feed from everybody. Just because they say that gospel, you can't do that. It'll bring some division in you, and it'll arouse a question. With Adam and Eve. See, Eve was tempted. The Bible says Eve was in the transgression, which means she was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. Right? Y'all did read that, because we just came out of the New Testament. They said that in the New Testament. Okay. Y'all looking at me like I'm saying something foreign. But she was deceived and not the man. So she was in the transgression, but nothing happened. And I'm going to talk about that I want to get to it so bad, but I've been studying that. But she allowed a rebellious word to get in her ear. And her husband did nothing about it. Took too long to respond. And he knew she was listening to the crazy snake. So you got to be careful who you let talk to you about the Bible. You don't need nobody to come to your house having no Bible study with you. You come to church. We have Bible study every Wednesday night. And you're being taught on Sunday. Digest all of that and then see if you got room for somebody else feeding. Not time for you to shine like that. So we see, he says, some of the stuff Paul taught was hard to understand until they got the revelation of it. And he said, unlearned and unstable people, they're going to wrestle with revelation. You're not that way because y'all been taught how to receive revelation truth. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're in a good church? You got to be in a church that teach revelation and not just read a scripture to you and send you home with a feel good that can't help you in your time of need. You got to have somebody that can go in the face of God and bring back that word, make it palatable so you can digest it. It takes a lot of time to do that. Never dismiss your man and woman of God. I was listening to something my husband said, and I'm going like, that boy was a teaching man. That's all I can say. He's still teaching me. Because I listen to what he says. Hallelujah. Because I trusted the revelation that God had given him. And see, that keeps you safe. Because even if I make a mistake, not deliberately, but being in this human body, I might say a word out of order, or I might say something else that I really didn't mean to say it that way. But you can catch it knowing that I'm not up here trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to lead you astray. If you don't know that about us by now, you just don't know us at all. Pastor DJ and we're not up here trying to lead you astray. I got to answer to God. What am I saying? I'm trying to help you. I know this is not the shouting message you came to church for, but this is the one you need to hear today. This is what the Lord gave me, so this is what you get. You might want fried eggs. He's giving you scrambled this morning, so you go figure. He says, look at, go down to Hebrews 13. Now, we're going to start the introductory of divine church order because all this will go right together. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 9, and then verse 17 through 18, then verse 24. It talks about remembering those. You there? Hebrews 13, look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, who's what? You're going to follow what? You follow my faith. Considering the end of their lifestyle, that's what conversation means. You have to look at my lifestyle and say that I am worthy to follow. Because that's important. A lot of people go to church and they pay no attention to the pastor's life. Long as he's up there doing his fiduciary duty, and that's holding a hand at the end of the service and coming to visit, they don't question his lifestyle. That's not what the word teaches. The word said as a parishioner, you have the right. He said, now you need to remember who got rule over you. That don't mean I'm dominating you. That's not what he's talking about. But there has to be an authority that speaks into your life. Somebody has to speak into your life for you to grow, to prosper. Somebody got to be there that can see what you can't see. That's why everybody not called to be pastors. Because pastors got a job that a lot of people shouldn't be doing. They're just pretending. You remember the great pretender? Okay. That's a flashback. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have occupied therein. Obey them. Go down to verse 17. Obey them that have obeyed them. Can we highlight that word? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Oh, Jesus. Did we just cuss? For they watch for your soul as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. If I got to go to God grieving about you, he says, not good for you. All right, let's read some of my notes over here. Glory to God. I have to say this, that this teaching is on church order from a divine perspective. Because there is so much variableness in church order across America and around the world. One of the things we have to do is back up and find out how it is supposed to be. He said, and you know, I'm reading my husband's notes, and I'm sure he don't care because I'm going to do it anyway. He says, I've been a little confused just from what I could see. He said, look, Nancy, I got to interject my own thing. If it was not from the Holy Ghost, man, we could all be confused if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. Because what we see and what you read in the Word most times don't match local church. Does not match local church according to the Word. Now, we're doing this from the Bible, so we're doing it the Bible way. So why does God even need a church? Why not just have things like, you know, that used to, you know, like it always have been. And let's get together in a small group We're not called to church, but talk about things in relation to how we feel. You know how we do. I go to your house, we're going to talk about how I feel about brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Then when we go to brother and sister so-and-so house, we're going to talk about how we feel about you. And then when you and brother, sister so-and-so get in the same room with me, we're going to talk about somebody else. And we done had church. Everybody talking about how they feel. That way, everybody get a chance to be right. Because we're discussing is our feelings. You better get to be right when you're discussing your feelings. Because your feelings is your feelings. And your feelings got to be right. Right? Woo! So we got this problem called religion. Religion is trying to divide the church order that God established so it can become where everybody look like they are right. That's what religion does. It makes everybody look like they are right. And you really don't have to change anything else about your life. You just show up and you are all right with God. So religion says, let's take the things that we have in common and make them common to all of us. But the things that make us distinctively different, which actually separate us, we can keep those things and we'll just talk about them as long as we're around people who think like that. Because that's not the way I've decided to live yet. This is what the local church has to contend with. And pastors all over America and all over the world still having to deal with these issues. Because somebody think, you know, don't give me that Bible version. No, we're going by our feelings. The Lord showed me. I can't tell you how many times people come to me and say, the Lord said I'm supposed to be here. And they come once and they're gone. You never see them again. What happened to the Lord? Did the Lord lie? Was God confused? How many people came, heard what they needed to hear to change their life, and they walked away because they're more committed to a religious environment than they are to their development? See, a religion makes you feel comfortable and makes you feel all right. And you're going to only talk powerful when you're with a person that's powerful. But you don't have no proof. You can't make it work. And people that really know the Lord, they know the difference. Because there's a cry that come out of a person that's full of power. There's a sound that come out. But what that does is keep us from becoming one organism. It's an organism. Because the church is a living organism, not an organization. It is a vibrant living organism called the ecclesia, the church. So we got a problem. Most local houses don't look like what God established. This is why people take it for granted. And when you come into an environment where there's established order, people are offended at order. Not because you hurt their feelings, but they're offended at order. Because it arrests their rebellion right away. And it should. When somebody get in your presence and you anoint it, it should arrest some demons. And the first one is rebellion. Somebody not going to like you. And you got to stop going to these events and family occasions and thinking everybody going to like you. No, they're not. Now, when you're wearing the anointing, they're not going to like you. You might have been friends and tight as cousins when you were growing up, but now a cousin can't stand you because you're anointed. And it's going to arrest the rebellion in them. Now, it's going to do two things. It's going to make them leave you alone, or it's going to convict them. And if they ever convicted, they'll come to you. This is why you can't lower your standards. Now let's just correct something right out the gate, because I know my husband, I don't know what kind of church he came, because I don't know, they were Baptist, Methodist, they were a little bit of everything. They were Catholic, because they were AME Zion. And you know, that's African Methodist Episcopalian, almost a Catholic. That's what it stood for. Now, how you gonna be all that and still believe something different? And in the back of their Bibles or their songbooks, they had the Catholic Creed. Now, how you gonna do that? Well, that's the kind of places people go to. And they're committed to those places. Now, in the Bible, there's a man called John. John, if you look in the book of John, John had one assignment. He was a Nazarite because he was sanctified from birth for one particular reason. He had a reason for being alive. And this Nazarite experience that he had to perform was to validate his worthiness and sanctify him apart from all mankind to perform it. So that's why he had to be raised a certain way. He had to eat a certain thing to separate him for this one assignment. And that was to be the type of example to prepare the people for the one that would come. Actually, to prepare the people's minds for the kind of ministry that Jesus was going to deliver. That was John's assignment. That's what advertisement does. It gets you ready. So you walk in the store, you say, well, and you see this one on Satan. I want this right here. Because you've seen the advertising on that, how many? At least 100 times. And you're more prone to buy it because why? It's been advertised. John was the advertisement for Jesus. He set the stage for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you the problem we had with that, not because John did it, people that were working with John. Remember how they did? We just talked about over there with the apostles, right? But there was one thing that was exclusive to John's ministry, and that was baptizing. He baptized the people as a symbol or symbolic of them being baptized when Jesus came by the Holy Spirit. It was symbolic. Watch this. Am I against water baptism? Absolutely not. That's a Bible thing. There ain't nothing wrong with water baptism. It's what we perceive about it. Because most people went in the water and thought they came up and they were born. They thought they was right with God because they got water dipped. Because under John the Baptist, that's all you could get. But that was a show of your commitment to the teachings that John was prepping the people for in relation to Jesus. So John wasn't teaching a wrong doctrine. People were hearing it the way they want to hear it. Y'all better, this is the problem in the local church. John was ordained to initiate the act of baptizing to signify what would be the evolution of Jesus' ministry. So in type, he actually performed the purchase of their soul and mind because it was symbolic, not actual. Jesus had to die to ratify the new birth. But John had some disciples who followed him. And you know this is true. Anybody that starts anything, somebody gonna follow them. It just happens. You can be wrong as two left shoes, but somebody gonna follow you. That's why you go to the internet, you go to Instagram, you go to Facebook, all that stuff. You see some of the crazy stuff, and somebody clicking, oh yeah, that's what I believe to. Somebody out there being a nut and another nut signing off on them. The reason is because the spirit of error is in the earth. The spirit of error has to make sure that everybody has some followers. Because if you split the vote, the person who needs to win is subject not to. We're getting ready. You say, now you're getting political. No, I'm not. See, I can interject my own words in here. This is a tactic to make sure that the person that needs the votes don't get them all. It's called divide and conquer. It's the oldest tactic in the world. The devil used it on Adam and Eve. And it's still in the earth. It's still operating. Divide and conquer. You want to split a family? Get the mom and dad against one another. Get the kids against the parents. Overthrow. The reason there are so many different denominations is so that people that need to teach you would not get the chance to teach you. That's the only reason there are so many denominations. That people that really need to be taught would not get taught. God never ordained it, and he would never sanction it. You better hear me. Those listening, I know it's tight, but it's right. God would never sanction that in that light. The different denominations that have the Spirit of God moving in them, and they are denominations because somebody else does not want anything to do with them, that makes them a small group unto themselves. Although Rapture Worship Center, by spirit, we're not a denomination. Other people call us one, made us one. We were once called an occult. Hey, standing strong. Spirit of God still working. We'll never acknowledge that we are by spirit, that we are denomination, because we're part of the body. People label you that way. But we're not a denomination. We're the body of Christ. Because we believe that if there is an organism teaching the truth, no matter where we are, that is so absolutely right. We can fit right in place no matter where the service being held. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why? Because it's part of the body of Christ. I should be able to go to any place in the world and teach what I am teaching here at Rapture Worship Center. If it's a real church. So why do we get all that resistance? And it should fit in a real church. The offense come because they're not real. They got followers, but they're not real. So some of John's disciples, I'm getting ready to close, wanted to keep his legacy alive. They paid homage unto him, even after he told them that Jesus was the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world, and told them to follow Jesus. He told them, I must decrease so he can increase, so that the voice of Jesus could increase and be the only voice. The disciples' reply was that they would rather stay with John. So after John's death, these particular disciples did not follow Jesus. They tried to keep John's legacy alive. See, nobody was to follow after John the Baptist. John didn't raise himself up to get a tribute. Ain't no church boy be named after John the Baptist. I'm going to mess with y'all this morning. Hear ye the word of the Lord. John did not require it. People took it upon themselves. Because there's no account where John required it. Nor did he ask for it. It was not even in God's plan for him to have a tribute. He was supposed to leave the scene so Jesus could be the only voice. Say, but people. See, if you read the account of John, he didn't even want the people to have a recollection of him. He didn't want them to remember him that way. I did my assignment. I'm gone. That's why when he asked the disciples to go ask Jesus, are you the one that we've been looking for? And Jesus sent the answer back. The deaf hear, the lame walk, the blind see. Signs, wonders, and miracles. And John knew that was that right answer. He says, okay, now I can offer my life up. I'm ready to go. Because the right one was on the scene. But somebody said, we're going to be Baptists. But you cannot do that. You cannot rename the body of Christ. I'm going to let it settle on you for a moment. Because what they did, they renamed their part. It is not possible. The name came from the headquarters. It's called the church. It's the bride of Christ. You can't rename somebody else's wife. How you get that ability? Because it was handed down. And it kept right on. The devil made sure it stayed alive. Why? Because it created division from the real. And now we got Baptists all over here, and they're still not teaching the whole gospel. You got some that do. But if you find some that really begin to teach, they get kicked out of their organization. Because they're not going to allow you to teach this truth. I was listening to an apostle, she's been in the ministry for about 40 years, a lady. I don't know, she's out of Chicago. But she was saying she had been a Baptist most of her life, raised in that, ordained in them. You know, of course, they don't believe in women, cheap preachers. The most you can be is a first lady and a missionary, somebody like that, but you're not going to get in the pulpit and teach no lessons. Because they stuck where you're not supposed to have nothing to say, women. That's why you don't see the women being much in the church, not even their wives. Or they do women's gatherings, little groups, stuff like that. They ain't training nobody. So, but in her case, she said she was part of a large Baptist organization. And when she began to teach the truth, she got filled. She said, I didn't make the mistake, but they thought I had gone crazy. She got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to read the Bible. Now here she been ministering. They wouldn't let her preach in the pulpit. If she was going to say something, she had to take the podium and stand down, because you're not going to get in the pulpit in a Baptist church. Now there's no female. Forget it. John the Baptist didn't teach that. That's their man-made doctrine. They took the, didn't we just read over there in Peter where he said the unlearned? They're going to wrestle with Revelation, so they took that scripture that a woman should be taught at home. I'm going to talk about that later on. And they twisted it so bad that women don't have a right to say nothing in a lot of these churches. And you get over here, and then you want to act like you know everything. You're coming out of bondage. You got to get a new mindset about the local church. Because it's not going to be the way it was over there. He says, the only one that can make you a Baptist is God. Nobody wants to explain why it can't be. Some people have the nerve to name the place where they congregate after John and other disciples, as well as Matthew, Luke, these just examples. None of these men require any of that. People did that. Unlearned and rebellious people did this. Not the disciples. Not even Mary, the mother of Jesus. All this stuff was done by people who were unlearned and rebellious. I know it's tight, because these disciples had to keep alive some of what John was teaching. They never moved into the reality of the church age, the New Testament order, which started with the book of Acts of the Apostles. Instead, they keep with the traditional Old Testament ritualistic activity that substantiated the new birth. This is why they say, if you don't get baptized in water, you are not saved. And there's nothing wrong with being baptized in water, but that's their belief, that if you don't get baptized, you're not saved. They're not preaching the message of salvation. But if you get baptized, to them you are saved. It's not in the Bible. They're still on their way to hell if that's all they've ever done. That's why they have no problem still smoking and drinking and sinning. Because they've been baptized in somebody's water. And somebody told them they were saved. And they are not. You got a lot to pray about because people are being deceived. John told them, says, I'm only baptizing you with water. So if there was not something deficient about water, he could have said, I just baptized. But he said, there's one coming after me whose shoelaces I am not worthy to tie. We make people something when they don't even want to be it. That's what people do in local churches. If John had not died, people would have pit him against Jesus because they were introduced to Jesus' ministry through John. And we can't say that if enough people have felt this way, that it might have affected John's soul. I know a man of God, he's in heaven now. I thank God for him. But he said for years he was never supposed to be a pastor, but he never moved away from that. He's supposed to be an evangelist. But he never fulfilled the office of a pastor. So the people suffered. Because he was out of place. And then people grow up under that and they learn to live out of place themselves. Because as the head is, so goes the people. And you begin to nickname stuff and put stuff in spots that don't fit. And you raise up and license people. And they're out of order because your head is out of order. And what we're trying to do is make it look like we got something going on. I'm gearing to close. So it's a strong possibility that John could have been deceived himself had people kept forcing him to be something that he never wanted to be. So as a result of that era, the door was open for other religions to establish a way of church order that has caused even more segregation. Nothing of God could cause this much segregation between those that are supposed to be coming out of God himself. See, God doesn't create that kind of division. It is impossible to say you're coming out of God and I can't come to your church and teach this. Because it's going to disrupt what you're teaching the people or what you're allowing. Come on, stand to your feet, because I know y'all, this is like eating a half a cow this morning. Come on.